Sam Spade looked back at me from the mirror at the back of the bar. He was one of my favourites, and considering the case I was on, why not? Besides, Sam and I had something in common. We were both private investigators. Want another? The barmaid leant forward on the bar to present her décolletage for my inspection. She smelled of perfumed moisturiser, perspiration, and the faintest touch of arousal. I smiled into my drink and said, "Okay." A film buff, no doubt, with a daydream of being laid by a memory. It happens occasionally when I take my face from the silver screen. I flicked a look in the mirror and saw that the fat man from Interstate was still engrossed in his meal. Mr. Sidney, as I had dubbed him, was on his third mains. His bodyguard, in the too small suit, was drinking coffee and trying not to look too bored. What brought the likes of them to this hotel in Canberra, I wondered. I'd heard the food was good here, but still, if he was who I thought he was, he must have been worth millions. "On the house," said the barmaid, whose badge identified her as Ruth. She placed the drink in front of me. "Has anyone ever told you you're the spitting image of Humphrey Bogart from those old movies?" "He is looking at you, Ruth," I said, raising my glass to her. "Yeah, I do get that occasionally, but I'm taller and I don't hit women." She smiled at that. "Are you a guest of the hotel?" she asked. "No," I admitted. "I just don't like drinking in noisy clubs. Too many people, too many pokies, and too little style." "I like what you've done here," I said, and gestured at the Art Deco fittings. She turned away to talk business with another staff member, and I took the opportunity to look at the tables again. I was just in time to see the man I'd been waiting for enter the restaurant. His guest for his business lunch was the other woman, just as I'd expected. Simon Hammett was cheating on his wife. My job was to establish with whom and to get evidence. It's not a nice job, but it's about as far as I'm willing to stoop considering what I could be doing. A man with my abilities working the wrong side of the law could have been Sydney's boss. Fortunately for the world, I have scruples. Scruples drummed into my head by the brothers at the orphanage. Still, it irritates me to sometimes think of all the missed opportunities. "What?" I said, looking up at Ruth. I'd lost it for a moment there. "Not a clever thing to do in my line of work. There's no ring on your finger, so I was wondering." She looked embarrassed. She was a good-looking woman. I especially liked the long auburn hair and her green eyes. "Why not?" I slipped one of my business cards from its case and put it on the bar. She read it and gave me an appraising look with a raised eyebrow. I put my finger to my lips, asking for discretion, and spoke in a low voice. "Name's John, and I'm working. Ring me later." Her eyes had shifted behind me, and I glanced over my shoulder just as the bodyguard arrived. "Could we get the dessert menu, please?" he asked, his eyes looking everywhere but at the woman he was speaking to. "Certainly, sir," Ruth said, all businesslike. At least she pocketed my card before heading off, which was a good sign. The bodyguard looked down his nose at me briefly and then walked away without responding to my "I'll say hello if you will" smile. I watched Ruth's backside as she followed him into the restaurant, menu in hand. It was a very nice sight, but unfortunately it was time for me to earn some money. Damn it! Hammett and the other woman had chosen a booth directly behind Sydney. I'd have to move if I was going to get some before shots. The after and the during, who knew? But at least now I should be able to show my client the face of her rival. I stood and casually walked my drink to a table that was suitably positioned for some clandestine photography. It looked like I was going to get some good shots too. She, many years her junior, was all over him like a rash. Still, I needed to maintain my cover, so I picked up a menu. My heightened sense of smell makes me picky about what I eat, and while there were some interesting things available, there were some smells in the area that put me right off the thought of food. The girlfriend was like a bitch on heat, spreading pheromones everywhere, and there was this faint, noxious, metallic odour. I sighed and put down the menu. Nobody was paying attention to me. In fact, Hammett and his date were making it easy. They were providing an erotic floor show that was even distracting Mr. Sidney from his food. I pulled my mobile out and opened it below the level of the table. They should be banned, you know, camera phones. The new ones, with their small size and high resolution, can be used for all sorts of nefarious activities, and they work well in low light. They're just the thing for us hard-working private investigators and our sordid infidelity work. I took my shots and even managed to get one with some under-the-table leg action. My client wouldn't exactly be happy, but I'd earned my fee. Finished, I looked around to see if anything had changed with the setting. The two in the booth were so engrossed with each other that they wouldn't have noticed me even if I'd used a flash. And Mr. Sidney was too interested in his own hedonistic pursuits. Unfortunately, it appeared the bodyguard wasn't so easily distracted, and he had a definite scowl on his face. I got up from the table and, leaving my drink unfinished, headed towards the men's room. Million to one chance there'd be an underworld figure in the picture, as it were. It was time for a change and a quick getaway. There was one little problem with being a face changer. If you want to look anywhere near human, you have to have a decent-sized mirror and some privacy. As luck would have it, one of the hotel staff preceded me in and headed for the urinal. I stepped into a cubicle. My reversible jacket and the cap in its pocket would be a start. However, I really needed some quality time in front of that mirror. I waited patiently, listening to the flow of water and the ritual of the paper towel. Then, when I heard the door close, I stepped out and tried to lock it. I was too late. The door pushed back into my fingers and it knocked me back against the cubicles as Mr. Sidney's goon took advantage of the situation. One of his huge hands took me by the throat and I was forced through a door and up against a cistern. He held me off balance easily above the bowl, which I accidentally managed to flush with some ineffectual flailing. "Give me the camera," he said, trying to pat me down with his other hand. "Get knotted," I managed to gasp out against the pressure on my throat. His hand came up from its explorations on my pockets, and I felt my nose and jaw shift several centimetres to one side as he slapped me. As usual, I felt only a brief burst of pain, but he gasped in surprise at the result and forgot all about what he was doing. As I don't like anyone else rearranging my face, I took this opportunity to gain some balance and kneed him in the groin as hard as I could. He let go of my throat and doubled over, and I pushed him before me out of the cubicle to let him collapse to his knees. "I'm a PI, working in an infidelity case. I have no interest in your boss," I said, as he collapsed sideways onto the floor, making horrible retching sounds. A good knee to the ghoulies will do that to any man, no matter how big he is. Unfortunately, I doubt he took in what I said. I looked in the mirror and grimaced lopsidedly, then did what I could to straighten myself up. A more drastic change was pointless now, and the fewer people who knew about my abilities, the better, as far as I'm concerned. Mr. Sidney was still at his table, and he scowled when he recognised me. I shook my head for his benefits and headed outside. It was time to let things cool down.